Hey everyone, this is Chris from the Jesus Geeks podcast, and you are listening to Transformed.
But first, a word from our sponsor, GoToMyPC. You know, I use and highly recommend GoToMyPC to remotely access another. Maybe you haven't tried GoToMyPC because it seems complicated. Let me assure you, it's easy to set up and easy to use. First, sign up for a free trial at gotomypc.com/techpodcasts. Make sure you're at the computer you want to access. Click download. The setup is completely automatic. Takes just 2 minutes. Then from any computer, log on to gotomypc.com with your secure password and click the connect button. You can go to MyPC free for 30 days, but you must visit gotomypc.com/podcast. In Jesus, we have all the power we need to live beyond our wildest dreams. The reality is that many of us are often disappointed, thinking that walking with God is somehow faulty. God promises an incredible life, but you feel powerless when there is a real need. But we also learn that the life beyond our wildest dreams requires the true disciple of Jesus Christ to draw deep into their walk with King Jesus. In other words, if you want power beyond your wildest dreams, you're going to have to yield your lifestyle to certain activities that produce the harvest of God's power, His love, in your life. In this lesson, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith teaches the congregation at First Baptist Church in Palos Verdes, California, that there are 5 non-negotiable actions that flow from our relationship with Christ, and these actions produce power beyond your wildest dreams.
Several years ago, a logging foreman sold a farmer a chainsaw, and he promised that the chainsaw would cut down 50 trees a day. The farmer was very impressed. He had land to clear, and so he quickly snapped up this amazing tool. A week later, he comes back to the logging foreman, and he was quite unhappy. Seems that the chainsaw only cut down 3 trees every day. Kind of confused, the logging foreman said, "Let me see the chainsaw." And so he handed him the chainsaw, and the logging foreman primed it a couple times, pulled the cord, went, and the farmer went, "What's that? What's that sound?" A lot of Christians today came to faith in Jesus Christ, but they are sorely disappointed that the promises that they were promised have not come true. They feel powerless. They feel like when they pray, God does not answer. And they feel like they were sold a bill of goods. During my teen years, my parents owned a popcorn stand. We sold popcorn and cotton candy and snow cones and peanuts and it was just a wonderful time in my life. But we went to a lot of carnivals, a lot of local fairs, city fairs, county fairs, all sorts of events. And at those fairs, I had plenty of time during the day to sneak off to the Midway. And you know at the Midway, there are all of these game booths. And the idea is that you'll pay your money and win that big prize. And if you believe that, I have some land to sell you. In fact, there's a bridge down here in San Pedro that goes over to Long Beach. I'd love to just give you an option on purchasing it. You see, almost every game in a carnival is rigged. And if you don't know how it's rigged, you can't win. And people would come to the carnival and they would pour out money. I could not believe it. It's like Las Vegas. And they were just pouring out money and winning nothing. And they'd walk away disillusioned. And many people today feel that way because they've heard all sorts of promises from con men and hucksters that claim to be Christian. And right now they're about ready to toss their faith out and look for something that works. One of the messages of these hucksters today is this. You've probably heard it. You may even bristle when I say it's a con man's line, but trust me, it is. I could smell a con man before I can see him. One of the gifts of my years of education on the Midway. Here's the line. God gives all of his blessings to all of his children all of the time. That's the con. That's simply not true biblically. It is true that you have access to all of God's blessings all of the time, but he does not give them all of the time. In fact, the reality, if you're filling in the blanks, the reality is that God has provided his children with a real dynamic power to live the lifestyle worthy of the calling of our anointed King Jesus. And it is called the love of God. But as we learn through this series of messages on the book of Ephesians, when we're talking about living life beyond your wildest dreams, that God does not give everything to everybody. He gives things to people who follow him. He gives access to you, but the access requires certain things from you. A yieldedness, a willing to align your life, my life, with what he says in his word. God isn't like some gumball machine where you put in two prayers and pop comes the blessing. It doesn't work that way. Some people are trying to negotiate for a better deal. Some people want God to somehow bless them. They're like the man who was the big business negotiator for his company. He was out fishing in a lake and he happened to hook this magic fish. The fish spoke to him and the guy was a little shocked. And the fish said this. He said, "Please throw me back into the lake. I'll grant you three wishes if you do." The businessman, he considered that request. Times were tough, and he said, "Tell you what, make it five, and it's a deal." He said, "No, I can only grant you three." He said, No. Make it four and a half. Make it four and a half. And he said, "Three." So, okay, we'll compromise on four wishes. But the fish didn't say anything because it laid in the bottom of the boat dead. I want you to catch on today. You can't negotiate with God. This is the way it is. You either do it his way and enjoy the blessings of God, or you don't and you lead a miserable Christian life. And that's what Ephesians is trying to say. It's all available if you're willing to do it God's way. Remember, this is a Burger King. You can't have it your way. This is Jesus King, and we have it his way. And he wants to teach us so much. You and I have so many needs that we can't even begin to enumerate them on a yellow legal pad. It's not possible to put down all of our needs. But five categories of needs are found in the passage we're in. And we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And I want to show you how God wants to meet your needs. First of all, to show you what he wants to do, and then to show you how to get it. So here we go on a real fast romp through chapter 3 and into chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. The first need is true, that every true disciple of Jesus Christ needs this power of God to be strengthened in his or her lives. You need the power of God strengthened. I need the power of God strengthened. God's power needs to be strengthened in our lives. Now listen, you can't strengthen God's power. Don't mishear me. The power needs to be strengthened in your life. In fact, that's what he says. Look at what Paul prays in this prayer. He's praying for the people at Ephesus. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. I don't have time to do the grammar and all of the fun stuff that comes out of this, but I want you to notice where it has to happen. It has to happen in your inner person, that the real person that you're going to be, not the one that's outside that everybody sees. I always get a tickle out of people dressing up the outside and forgetting to dress up the inside. When you get to heaven, you don't get the outside. All you got's the chocolatey inside. And you got the caramel nougat. That's all you get in heaven. And so you need that strengthened. And so you get strengthened through the Holy Spirit, but it's something that God does, and he does through a process. You and I need that process to work in us. We realize this is true when Paul says over in 1 Timothy 4, he says, "But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness." In other words, if I'm going to access the power of God, we have to exercise ourselves toward godliness. I've lost 10 pounds since Christmas. I'm all excited about that. In fact, I'm going for 10 more in February. If you'd like to pray for me for 10 more in February, just write on your response card, "pray." Okay? But it involves exercise, it involves proper eating, and I'm telling you that it's not easy. Do I have an amen in the house? Amen. I'm telling you, I can gain in a day what I can't lose in a week. Have you been there? Anybody else with me? Yeah, amen. I know it's not easy. But most people wind up at the gym, but forget to wind up in God's gym. And as a result, their lives grow weaker and weaker. Notice what he says here. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is, right now, and the one which is to come. You and I have this tremendous opportunity. God wants to strengthen us. He wants to develop us. He wants to meet our needs. He says, secondly, that every true disciple of Jesus Christ needs his power of God to be nurtured in his or her life. In other words, this isn't something we normally access simply because we got saved. I remember my friend Skippy said, years after he came to Christ and his life had many, many problems, he said to me, he said, Pastor, I thought that once you got saved, you were done. I saw Skippy a few weeks ago, and he was telling me how God has been blessing in his inner person and how God has been working in him. And he's realizing now that this is a lifelong process of access. Look at what verse 17 says. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, many of you have come to faith in Christ, but this word dwell is a lot of fun. You've been saved, but many of you could understand this very simply. You come to church and you hear the pastor speak. Is the pastor dwelling with you? Yes or no? No. What's he got to do to dwell with you? He's got to move in. He's got to have free access to the fridge. He gets to sit in your lazy boy. He gets to choose the television shows he wants to watch. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is a process, a deepening process that goes on throughout our entire life. Now listen, what I'm saying here is that that strength comes from nurturing our walk alone in a quiet place with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a day-by-day thing. It's allowing him into our lives to walk with him and talk with him along life's narrow way. That's what it's all about. It's not about just coming on Sundays and doing our time with God and getting upset when the clock runs past the hour. By the way, that's a good indicator you're not going to make it to glory if you can't take a little hour and 15 in the worship service. What are you going to do with eternity in the same boat? Think that through for a minute. At the Super Bowl today, if there were two overtimes, everybody would think it was one of the greatest games in history. But when you have an overtime at church, something about the sad, sorry content of my heart. I need Christ to dwell in me. You need Christ to dwell in you. That's what this is all about. In fact, when Jesus was on his last night, this is what he said. I'm just going to read from John 15. Listen to Jesus' words. He knows he's going to die in a couple hours, okay? Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's that lazy boy recliner in the fridge and the television that we're talking about. Okay? I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. That's a hint. If you don't have this abiding relationship with Christ, you fry. We know where that place is. The Bible calls it Hades and hell. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, oh, there it is, my words. Where do you get Jesus' words? Where do you get his words? In here, in the book, the Word of God. And they abide in you, that means these words have to be coming in and sitting in your lazy boy recliner and choosing the television programs that you're going to watch and having free access to your food and everything else. And my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire. Here it is. You will ask what you desire. Just write John 15:7. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. He goes on and talks through this chapter about many glorious things. But it's all about this nurturing. As you let Christ abide in you, amazing things begin to come true in your life. Ask and you receive that your joy may be full, he'll say. So you and I need to realize that God, spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ and talking with him and walking with him and hearing what he has to say and changing your life to conform to the image he desires is where all of this power begins to be displayed, because it's done through a conversation. It's done through a conversation. And Jesus answers the prayers of his close friends. When calamity strikes in your life, James calls it, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Anybody have a fall in the last year or two? Can I just see your hands? Yeah, Melody and I. Just a couple years ago. I remember when we went to the doctor and the doctor said, cancer for Melody. Uterine cancer. And you sit there and before you even knew anything about this, your life was fine. And then with one word, everything changes. And if it hadn't been for our tremendous strength that comes from our daily walk with God, where we spend time every day with Jesus Christ, I don't know how we would have made it. Now, don't hear me wrong. It didn't make it easy. The word cancer is devastating. And it's devastating if you have an intimate walk with Christ. But we had strength and hope and power that other people who do not have Christ and hear those words do not have. Now, Melody's been cancer-free for over a year, an answer to prayer. Many of you prayed with us, and we're so grateful for that. God answered our prayers. That's the power of God. That's the power of God to work in our lives. He wants to work. And every true believer, every true disciple of Jesus Christ needs this power to be deepened in your life. I need it, you need it. We need this power to grow. We need it to grow deep. I lived in a very strange place when I was young. I lived in a place where there were tornadoes all the time. Every spring there were tornadoes. And we would go out. My father was the neighborhood newspaper man, and he was the publisher, and I'd go out with him, and we'd take pictures of the devastation. And I can remember one tremendously awful year back in the late 60s when three tornadoes were following each other. And they cut a path through a forest that looked like the Battle of the Bulge or something that George Patton and his tanks would have done to such a wooded area. I mean, it was amazing devastation. A few years ago, Melody and I went back there, and it's been 40 years, and the devastation can still be seen. And I was thinking about how many of the trees were not deeply rooted trees. And they simply didn't have it. They weren't flexible. They were stiff and rigid. And they were just simply wiped out. But along that same route, there was a stream. And along the stream were many weeping willow trees. There's one in my front yard. Big old things. But weeping willow trees have the tendency to be a little flexible. And as the storm would come, the taproot held down in that deep, deep, constantly feeding off of the water of the stream, taproot held, and the tree would just wobble and wave back and forth in the midst of the trouble. And this is what 3:17 says, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Where do you get the love from? Jesus Christ. No matter how awful the storm, no matter how devastating the fact that 100,000 jobs were lost this week, and that many people are going, if you're deeply rooted, Jesus Christ will give you the power to overcome what you're going through. No matter what it is, it will happen. A fourth need that you and I have that Christ wants to fulfill is the fact that this power of God needs to be experienced in our lives. It's one thing to talk about David killing Goliath. It's one thing to talk about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. And it's great to sing the kids' songs. But there is a disconnect from the stories that are in black and white in the Old Testament and the life that you and I live today if we don't have this deep-rooted experience in Christ. Jesus was clear time and time again. James picked it up and he said, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, because you want to consume it on your own desires or your own lusts. That comes from this experience. Look at what the Bible says in verses 18 and 19. He's praying. Oh, I pray that you might be able to comprehend. Comprehend. I'd circle that word in my Bible because that means you got to do some thinking about it. Comprehend with all the saints. What is the width and the length and the depth and the height? That covers all the dimensions. To know the love of Christ. This word to know, it means to experience by knowing. The love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love that phrase. If you got your Bible, I'd underline that. Filled with all the fullness of God. That's that you might be. He's talking to Christians. You see, not everybody gets everything all the time. It's handed out by access. He wants you to have it. Now, I don't know if you've ever been an explorer. I have my father built into me a wanderlust. If I'm in one place for too long, I got to go somewhere. I got to get out. And I know many of you don't drive very far. But if I don't drive an hour or two on a freeway during the week, I go stir crazy. I got to go somewhere. I got to be somewhere. I don't have anything on the calendar. I just got to go. And I love to explore. Melody and I, we love to explore. When we go on vacation, most of the time we go to places where we can explore. I remember one time we went to a vacation in the Minneapolis area, the Twin Cities. And we spent the whole time on our vacation just driving around and looking at places and going in and seeing things. Things that probably wouldn't interest any of you. But we had a great time. We found coffee shops and we found used bookstores. And I mean, we found all sorts of stuff. We had a great time. I have a wanderlust about knowing God. And if I haven't discovered something new in a day or two, I get real agitated inside. I got to dig some more. That's why I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm encouraging you to read through the Bible with me. This was an amazing week to read. I encourage you to read with me and to watch what God does and watch how He reveals Himself and see what's going on in His life. It's an amazing walk. You see, because the Bible's very clear. God said this, "But let him who glories," if you're going to have anything to brag about this, "that he understands and knows me." One of the phrases that I detest from myself and from anyone else is this one. "Well, I think," when they're talking about God. Now, if you read the Bible, you don't have to just say, "I think." You can say, "I No. You didn't get 66 books so you could think, conjecture. It's there. All you got to do is read it and study. It's amazing the things that God wants to reveal to you and us. We want to experience that. And we realize that this power of God has to be replenished in our lives. You and I leak. We have a drippingness when it comes to knowing these things and achieving it. On Tuesday, we had our worship meeting, working out and planning out the entire 6 months ahead through June. And the waitress kept coming back and filling my cup and coming back and filling my cup and coming. That's because the cup has a hole in it. Okay, it's at the top and I'm drinking it, but it had to be replenished. You and I have holes in us and we need the power of God to be constantly run. Now, how can I tell when I need to be refilled? Real simple. I start acting crabby. Just write it in the white space. Crabby. You know the Bible says all sorts of things. It says hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of sins. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I know. When I'm grumpy, when you're grumpy, our cup is empty. And I'm realizing that James is right in chapter 3, verse 6, when he says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. It's set on fire by the course of nature. It's set on fire by hell." How many of you have words you've said that you wish you would have never uttered? Can I just see your hands? Yeah, you know this, what this is about, and it's this grumpiness. What do I do when this fire that comes from hell comes out of my mouth? What do I need to do? Three things. I need to stop, drop, and I need to roll. Okay? I need to stop gossiping and griping. I need to drop to my knees and repent of my wicked heart. And I need to roll all my burdens on the Lord and seek the wisdom of His Word. That's what I have to do. And that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to be an intimate relationship. How's He going to fill it? Well, there's some things you and I need to do. I got five of them. Here we go. Number one, It says in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, that we are to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called with all lowliness of mind. In other words, we need a constant attitude of esteeming ourselves small while recognizing God's greatness. Paul talks about it this way in Philippians 2. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. And let each of you not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I told you before, I'm going to tell you again, this isn't Burger King. My life doesn't revolve around having it my way. Neither should yours. If we want Christ, we have to have an attitude that says others are important. Christ is important, and we need to make that a choice in our lives. But there's a second action, and that is a consistent action of showing oneself gracious, which is first toward God and then towards others. See what verse 2 says? It says that we're to have gentleness. Now remember, grace is giving someone what they do not deserve. When do you need to have grace? You need to express grace or have grace when people around you do things you don't like. When they annoy you, your grace meter is revealed. When they criticize you, your grace meter is revealed. All of these things, when crabbiness begins to infiltrate my soul, my grace meter needs to be refilled, and I need to be gracious. How do I do that? From an intimacy with Christ. But we also need to have a constant action of disciplining ourselves to be patient. How many of you want patience and you want it right now? You see? Boy, don't you wish there was just a patience 2.0 that you could just download and you had it? You know how God gives patience, right? He gives you troubles. James, just write it down in the margin. You can check it later. James 1, 2 through 5 tells us that basically, if you want patience, you got to go through problems. And you got to let the problems work through you, stew and simmer like my slow cooker is right now for my lunch. It's just got to take time to cook. Those problems do. And you got to learn to get a grip. Get over it. Get close to God. I don't like those things, by the way. I hate those things. Those are terrible things. So let's move on. I don't like those. When my father was dying of cancer, it took him a long time. And our family suffered with him. He had kidney cancer. And it took months and months and months. And I can remember the agony and the inconvenience and the suffering and the trials. Why'd they do that? Why did my family did almost all of it? I lived in California, he lived in Wisconsin. My family didn't. Why'd they do that? Because they loved him. Somewhere in the white space, you ought to write down, just circle this word or put it in there, long-suffering shows love. The more we're patient with people, the more we love them. The less we're patient with people, the less we love them. It's just a little meter. It's not a good meter when you aren't very patient. You and I have to have a consistent action of making ourselves merciful. We draw all these out of the Word of God and our intimacy with Christ, but we have to choose to apply them, to access them, and to walk in them, which is covering the sins of others so that they are known no further. Now listen, look at this. It says, bearing with one another in love. Doesn't say be a bear to one another in love. If you repeat a foible and a failure of another person, you are acting out of character of Christ. No one should ever be able to say, I heard it from you. When you hear it, it should stop there. And when you hear it, you should stop them there. It's one of those little things we taught the teenagers years ago. Sit down, shut up, be quiet. We never repeat this stuff because it's love. We want to be gracious. We want to be merciful. Merciful, remember that grace is giving people what they don't deserve. Mercy is not giving people what they do deserve. When people make a mistake, they deserve to have everybody tell it. But Christ says, no, cover it. Love covers a multitude of sins. Which leads us to the fifth, and that is a constant action of determining oneself united. Love unites. And when we love people, we don't repeat problems and failures and foibles and mistakes. We simply cover them up and we draw them to us closely. See what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says. We endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's not easy. See the first word, endeavoring. It's a hard job. We all have a body that likes to talk. We all like to take the juicy morsel we've heard and share it somewhere else. We all like to make ourselves look better and deflate someone else through criticism. And we have to endeavor. And the only way we have this strength is through an intimate walk with Christ. I have some friends that live up in New England, and they were telling me about crabbing. They go out crabbing. And I didn't know too much about crabs, but he was showing me a video of one of their crabbings, and he had gotten a crab, and the crab was crawling all over the place. And I said, how in the world do you keep the crabs from crawling out of the buckets that you use? And he said, oh, that's easy. He said, if you put one crab in a bucket, he'll crawl out. But if you put two or more crabs in a bucket, the other crabs will never let the one get out the bucket. The crab will reach up and grab the guy who's almost over the edge and just yank him right back in. And I thought, oh, how like human nature. It's so much human nature for you and I when somebody's just about ready to crawl out and achieve something to reach up and yank them back down. Happens in the church. Most local churches are crab buckets when they step away from the power of God. How do you know if the church is powerless? Real simple. See how the crab bucket's working. Are people excelling and moving on and seeing God do incredible things, or are they constantly being pulled back and torn down? John said it this way. Jesus' closest disciple said, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. The bottom line is I can't do these things, these five things, in my strength. I can't do them in my power, neither can you. The only way this happens is that we keep the unity of the Spirit by remaining in the Spirit through a daily encounter with the living God. It's that simple. God wants us to have so much more than we're currently experiencing. I don't care if you're a super saint. God has more for you. That's what's amazing. And he wants all the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in you. That's amazing.
Choosing to power up happens through a daily devotional. Discovering God's love is what Dr. Smith's book, In His Image, is all about. And copies are available on the sidebar at eaglesandleadership.org's website. We encourage you to order yours today. If you'd like to comment about this episode or contact Dr. Smith, you can do so in one of three ways: at our website, eaglesandleadership.org, or by emailing us at transformedpodcast@gmail.com, or even by calling our voicemail line at area code 206-350-0019. Leave a comment that we can play on a future episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review at iTunes, Podcast Pickle, or on dig.com, and feel free to pass this episode on to a friend. This podcast was recorded and edited in Palos Verdes, California, by Tabitha Grace Smith. All material contained therein is copyrighted under the Creative Commons license. Please do not rebroadcast without permission. Now, until next time, I'm your host, Mike Powers, asking you to remember that you can enjoy life beyond your wildest dreams.